Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in another week of the Hoosier Report here on the Big X Sports Radio. Complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. We do this each weekday, 11 a.m. You can often catch the replay at 3 o'clock. And, of course, on SoundCloud and Apple Podcast, we are available almost any time as a podcast. We are glad you're listening to us, no matter how you're listening to us. And, of course, a lot to get to, as always, on a Monday. IU football so close, and then in the final seconds falls apart, and a close game and a close loss becomes a 9-point loss, 40-31 to Michigan State. But still, Indiana football under Michael Penix. Again, I'm not a football guy, but there's something about Penix. Just from the few opportunities we got to see him earlier in the year that I thought, man, this guy – he's got something that Indiana hasn't had. He's got a bounce about him, a playmaking ability, just something about him that Indiana football hasn't had. And if he can stay healthy, and now that he's back, even though it's a loss to a top 25 ranked team on the road, I think he can lead Indiana to some big moments, not only this year, but in the future as well. And I think that that's a general consensus by people that have watched him, that follow IU football probably a lot closer than I do. But Indiana football, a better effort against a good team. Obviously, the late seconds of the game don't necessarily replicate or don't necessarily show exactly how well Indiana played at times throughout the game. But nonetheless, the Hoosiers take a loss, 3-2, and they've got some winnable games forthcoming that they will be the favorite in, and this team can inch a lot closer to becoming bowl eligible here over the next few weeks. So IU football obviously will be a topic today. Indiana much more. And how about this too? Again, Ohio State, I think when Indiana hosted the Buckeyes, it was thought that Ohio State was good. They're going to be one of the better teams in the Big Ten Conference, if not the best. But, hey, this isn't the Ohio State program that we're used to seeing. And since the Indiana game, the dominance that Ohio State has had, Nebraska, they absolutely just destroyed on Saturday night. I think that maybe some people, even though they giving credit to Ohio State as being a good college football program, maybe not as much credit as what we should have been giving. They are going to be and are a really good football program who I think are in contention for the playoffs at the end of the year. So maybe that game that was such a disappointing loss for Indiana, the way they got beat, the way Indiana played without Michael Penix, maybe it was a bit of an anomaly. Indiana better than that, I hope, better than that, I think. And for the most part, they showed that Saturday at Michigan State. We'll talk more IU football coming up as well in just a little bit. But before we go any further, before we tell you more about what's going to happen today and go through the guest lineup, every Monday we start the program off with the Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week, which is presented by Sir Dano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. We always highlight coming out of the weekend a high school football performance that really stood out to us. And I'll be honest, the last couple weeks, as someone that likes to cheer for the whole area, has not been great weeks of football. We've had some local teams that have lost by big numbers. We've had a handful of local teams that have won by big numbers, but there have not been a lot of close, competitive, exciting games. There have been a few, but not as many as you'd like to see. And I think everybody well aware there have been some blowouts where our local teams have not fared well against some recent competition. That said, there's been some big performances individually, and one of the teams that's really turned it on is Charlestown. Charlestown has now won four consecutive games after a tough start to the season with games against Silver Creek and Brownstown, who are going to prove, I think, very soon to be 1-2 in the Mid-Southern Conference. But since that point, Charlestown, four consecutive victories. Friday night, another win for the Pirates. And Marion Lukes, who was probably the biggest name coming into this season, is our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week this week, presented by Sir Dano's Pizza Parlor. He rushed for 210 yards. He had scoring drives of 57, 52, 49, and 22 yards for the Pirates. And also, he's an Eastern Kentucky commit. He's had a great season this year. Maybe not as big of numbers as last year, but he's been asked to do a lot more for this Charlestown team. He's played some quarterback. They've moved him through the lineup at different positions, and he's basically this year had to do whatever it takes to make the Pirates successful. And he and some of the other key players on that team have got Charlestown football headed in a very good direction as we enter the back of the season. We are headed to Week 7 this coming Friday night. But congratulations to Charlestown senior Marion Lukes. He'll play Division I college football at Eastern Kentucky. A big week for him, and we think it'll be a big season, a big close to the 2019 season for him and for the Pirates, as they've got some opportunities ahead to rack up some more wins and be sitting with a number of victories under their belt in a row going in to the sectional tournament, if everything plays out the way it could for this Charlestown team. But Marion's our winner. He'll get a free 14-inch pizza at Sir Dano's in Sellersburg. Sir Dano's, squarely the best hometown pizza at its best, and the sponsor of our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week each week here on the program. Congratulations to Marion Lukes of Charlestown, this week's winner of the award. Let's take a look at the guest lineup today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, in addition to the Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week announcement that just concluded, we'll also have Zaxby's Hoosier Headlines, presented by Zaxby's, where we take a look at some of the big news in IU and Southern Indiana sports. Of course, IU football, a little basketball recruiting in the mix as well. And something I really like to look at each year, of all the preseason polls out, one came out this morning that's called the official, unofficial Big Ten media poll. The Big Ten no longer has an official media poll, but a lot of the great beat writers, including some of the guys that join us on this program to talk not only IU, but to talk about some of the Big Ten rivals throughout the season, vote in the poll. And I think that if anybody's going to vote on a preseason poll instead of a preseason magazine that might be put together by one or two people way in August, September, when those things are printed sometime now, really in late September or mid-September, I like the chances of the beat writers that cover this stuff in depth to get it right, if there is such a thing as being right in the preseason. So we'll tell you where Indiana's at in that official, unofficial Big Ten media poll today. And I don't think that you'll be happy, Indiana fans, with where they're at. But, hey, there have been other polls out, and I think people have an expectation on where the national media and where generally folks see Indiana going into this college basketball season. So we'll talk about that. And an announcement over the weekend about the Crossroads Classic game against Notre Dame. We'll cover all of that and more in our headline segment coming up here in just a moment. Also, later in the program, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star is with me. We'll recap the IU-Michigan State loss, including what fell apart for the Hoosiers in the final seconds of that game. We'll also talk Michael Penix, an intriguing player, an intriguing quarterback. I like what he does. I think Indiana, with him this year and in the future, if he can stay healthy, if he stays at Indiana, all the, of course, things that you would assume would happen, I think he can lead Indiana to some big moments, maybe bigger moments than what they've reached here in recent seasons. I like him. I think he's capable, and I think he will lead the charge for IU football to accomplish some things. Could be wrong, but I just have a good feeling about him when he's in the pocket for this Indiana team. So we'll talk some about that with Zach Osterman. I'm sure we'll get into some basketball stuff as well coming up here in just a bit. Also, later in the program today, it's Monday, so we talk local sports headlines with Chad Gilbert, who is Charlestown High School's athletic director. He's also an IHSAA board member, and he's with us every week as we talk local stuff here on the program. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive a dollar off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's get into our Zaxby's Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. I talked about Penix. I talked about IU football to start the show. Michael Penix selected as Big Ten Freshman of the Week. I believe that's his second time this season he's captured that award. He recorded a career-high 3 passing touchdowns and 1 rushing touchdown in Saturday's loss at Michigan State. Completed a record, 20 straight passes for this Indiana team. And he completed the game 33 of 42 for 286 yards in his first career road start for this Indiana team. Again, I'm very hopeful about Michael Penix and the future that he could bring for this IU football program. Official, unofficial Big Ten basketball media poll. The Big Ten Conference no longer has one that they release at Big Ten Media Day, which, by the way, comes up later this week in Chicago. And it's always fun because not only do we get to hear some stuff from Archie Miller again, but also we get an opportunity to hear from all the Big Ten coaches and some of the top players as well. And you kind of, after all the coverage that comes out from that, you have a much better feel, I think, of what the conference could look like this season, even though I think we're getting the point. Michigan State's going to lead the way. Michigan State has an opportunity with Cassius Winston to be really good this season. So looking forward to that later this week. Looking forward to Hoosier Hysteria on Saturday. We are here. We are almost here to the college basketball season, because once Big Ten Media Day hits, once Hoosier Hysteria hits, there's some recruiting stuff that'll fill in between now and the exhibition game. But once the exhibition game hits, the season is here. We will be jam-packed every day at 11, trying to fit in as much as we can about IU basketball and more here on the program. This is just a fantastic, fantastic time of year. If we can get some of this heat to go away, I think it's supposed to be 90 degrees almost every day this week until maybe Friday and Saturday. It's going to simmer down a lot. But we can get some of this heat gone, given the good time of year for sports, given that there's all sorts of good basketball things starting right now. Really good time of year for a lot of different reasons. But the Big Ten official, unofficial media poll, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, he votes in this, as does Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. Both are regular appearances on our program to talk IU basketball. It's headed by Brendan Quinn of The Athletic and also Adam Jardy of the Columbus Dispatch, both writers that cover Michigan State, Michigan, and Ohio State that we've had on this program as well, that do just a terrific job. If you're looking for follows on Twitter, on social media for the upcoming season, those two guys and others that vote in this poll are some really key beat writers following and covering all of the Big Ten teams and their basketball, mostly football programs as well, on a very in-depth and daily basis. But the poll was released this morning. No surprise that Michigan State received the most votes. They are number one pick in the conference, as that's been unanimous, I think, with every preseason ranking and publication and power ranking and way too early prediction that's come out. Michigan State has been at the top. Maryland is second. Ohio State is 3. Purdue is 4. Michigan is 5. Where is Indiana? Indiana is 10th in this poll, which is about average for other polls and other rankings that have come out so far in this 2019-2020 college basketball preview time. The highest projected finish from Indiana came from Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, who, by the way, will join us in the next segment. Brendan Quinn of The Athletic, Scott Ritchie of the Champaign, Illinois News-Gazette, and a writer from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, along with David Jones of the Harrisburg Patriot News. They all picked the Indiana team to finish 7th in the conference, which is a little bit above the average that most of the polls have had. But overall, when you average all the writers and the votes together in this official, unofficial Big Ten media poll, Indiana is 10th coming in on this upcoming season. Who did they vote as first team all Big Ten? Cassius Winston, unanimous pick of Michigan State. Lamar Stevens of Penn State. Ayo Dosunmu, I never can pronounce his name, from Illinois. He also was on the All-Big Ten first team. Anthony Cowan of Maryland. Caleb Wesson of Ohio State, also on the first team All-Big Ten team of 5 players. Receiving votes for Freshman of the Year, Let's see here. E.J. Liddell from Ohio State was the leading vote getter at 4, and Trace Jackson Davis was right behind him, tied with Franz Wagner of Michigan. They each had 3 votes for Big Ten Freshman of the Year. So Trace Jackson Davis continues to get some high marks from writers that are looking at the Big Ten Conference and the season for the upcoming year. No question about that. Good stuff to look at from this poll. Lots of different categories they voted in, and no question about it that Indiana, generally among the media, among the people that cover this team, among the media media that cover this conference, have some work cut out for them if they are going to beat the projections and the predictions of a lot of people who think this Indiana team is a 9 or 10 finish in the Big Ten Conference for this upcoming season. Indiana's Crossroads Classic matchup against Notre Dame, it's set for Saturday, December 21st. We now know the tip time. It's going to be the noon game in the Crossroads Classic, and it will be on TV. This came out when the ACC released its television schedule last week. And also today in Boston, I've been following their feed. I haven't seen much yet or anything yet on Romeo Langford, but you can bet that's coming a little bit later today. It is Boston Celtics Media Day. The Pacers had their Media Day last week. We're starting to get to that point of the year for the NBA as well. Preseason games are not far off at all for NBA teams and for this Celtics team. But Media Day today for the Celtics. Again, I've not seen anything so far with the rookies or with Romeo Langford just yet, but you can bet that there'll be some interview opportunities, some media time for Romeo, for all of the freshmen coming up this week, or coming up today, I should say, at the Celtics Media Day in Boston. Also, preseason games I mentioned, we're not far away at all from preseason games as far as the preseason goes for Boston. They their first game is set for October 6th. So coming up here, in 7 days from today, they will take on or be in action in their first preseason game. And we think that we'll see Romeo Langford for some minutes. He's healthy now. He's been cleared now for a couple weeks to a month, depending on what report you pay attention to. And there's an opportunity for, I think, 5 preseason games before the regular season begins, where I would think clearly the Celtics will experiment with some of their non-traditional starters. And you can't, at this point, I don't think, put Romeo in the starting lineup, or maybe not real close to that, for this Boston team. So will he get some minutes in the preseason games? We'll find out soon. October 6th, I think, will set the tone for what to expect, at least in the preseason part of the NBA season. Then how he does from there could potentially have impact, especially very early on, as to what type of minutes he gets for this Boston team this upcoming season. This is a look at the headlines presented by Zaxby's, with locations in Clark and Floyd counties, Jeffersonville and New Albany. We'll head to a commercial break when we come back. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star joins us as we talk IU football, a little IU basketball, and talk about Zach's votes in the official, unofficial Big Ten media poll as well. And just a reminder, we announced it at the very top of the show, Charlestown Marion Lukes is our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week. The Pirates won their 4th consecutive game Friday night as Marion Lukes rushed for 210 yards. He had scoring drives of 57, 52, 49, and 22 yards, which led him to this week's Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week award presented by Sardano's Pizza. We'll head to a commercial break when we come back. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star joins me. IU football, basketball as well, coming up right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Monday program. Per normal, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star with us. We'll talk IU football, the loss on the road to number 25-ranked Michigan State, and the release earlier today of my favorite preseason ranking of the Big Ten Conference, the official, unofficial Big Ten media poll that comes out in advance of Big Ten Media Day, which is set for later this week in Chicago. Zach, great to have you with us. IU football, I thought, was very competitive and took a big step forward for most of the game this weekend, but things fell apart for the Hoosiers there at the very end.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think in isolation, you should be allowed, if you're an IU fan, to feel encouraged by that performance. I think, you know, this weekend also, quite frankly, probably allowed everybody who's been taking these beatings from Ohio State to just sort of regard them as more reflective of how good Ohio State is and less maybe reflective of the problems with Cincinnati or Indiana or Nebraska and so forth. I think there was a lot to be encouraged about for Indiana. I think the question, though, remains, as it always has, for Indiana after these types of games, which is, can that be sustained? You know, can that performance be replicated against Northwestern at home, against Maryland on the road, even against Nebraska on the road? If it can, I think Indiana's got a very, very good chance of going to a bowl this year, maybe even getting to 7 wins, you know, having the kind of season Indiana hasn't had in a decade or more. But it also, you know, feels like we've had this conversation before where we see Indiana play very well, you know, a very spirited kind of performance against a good team. And then that's not sustained for whatever reason when the competitive level falls and Indiana can't find that consistency. I think that's kind of the question you come out of the weekend with for IU is how much of this is transferable.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, with us. I'm not a huge football guy. I do watch the IU football games. I do prefer Big Ten football. I watched Ohio State, Nebraska on Saturday night. But to say that I could break down a game or understand everything the offense or defense is doing is absolutely just not correct. So I try to remember that when I make projections or make predictions or get on a whim about something. But one thing I have some confidence in is Michael Penix, and I don't fully know how to describe it or how to say it because he's had some great moments, he's had some okay moments, and as you would expect, a couple not-so-good moments in the short time, really, that he's been in there as the starting quarterback so far this season for Indiana. But for me, he just brings something different to that position. He just has some bounce, some playmaking ability. Again, this is where I lack the ability to describe what intrigues me about him, and maybe you can do better than that. Maybe you can reinforce this or back me down from this. But I believe that he's the kind of guy that can lead Indiana to some success, to some big moments, maybe to some big conference wins, whether it be this year or specifically next year as he, you would think, takes over the position even stronger. But he, to me, is somebody that just brings something to this IU football program and that QB spot that the Hoosiers haven't had. Do you see this? Do you feel this? Do you hear this from others that know a lot more than me, that follow it a lot closer than I do?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple different things to kind of unpack there. I think, number one, yes, and talking to, you know, even kind of my counterparts of Michigan State's press corps, I think they were very impressed with Michael Penix, and not in a way where you say, oh, yeah, he played a good game, but more of a, you know, he's got some real talent. He's got some real skill. You can see how good he is. There were flaws with Indiana's performance on Saturday, and I'm sure, you know, we'll hear from Tom Allen later today. I'm sure that coaches were able to pick apart Michael Penix's performance and find things he could have done better. Certainly, you can think of a couple of deep throws that if he hit them, maybe Indiana wins the game. And I'm not, please understand, a guy who throws for 286 yards and puts up 4 total touchdowns at Michigan State in his first Big Ten start on the road. You know, you're nitpicking, finding, you know, kind of the negatives. But my point is, even Michael Penix would probably tell you he can get better, he can improve. But what struck me beyond the stuff you could see, the stats, the arm strength, even some of the intangibles, even the, you know, how good he was at avoiding Michigan State's pass rush, for example, how unbothered he looked by one of the best front sevens, maybe the best front seven in the Big Ten outside of Columbus. Certainly, I'd say one of the 3 best front sevens in the league. He was never bothered by the pressure. He was never bothered by, you know, the pocket moving around on him. He could step away from pressure well. He could, you know, he could deliver throws with a guy bearing down on him. A couple times he basically sat in there knowing a hit was coming. And this is a guy who's been out injured for 3 weeks. And he took it. And he delivered a strong throw. He didn't pull out of the throw. He didn't short arm the throw. He delivered a strong throw and then took his hit and got back up. But there was also something more intangible to Penix's performance that I thought kind of extended to Indiana's overall. And that is that if there's an element to Saturday that does feel to me to be more sustainable than maybe some of these times that we've been through, you know, Indiana, narrowly missing these upsets in the recent past, it's that Indiana didn't look like it was holding on for dear life in that game. You know, Indiana obviously played very poorly defensively in a number of different respects, had some miscues, had some missed opportunities on both sides of the ball. But typically when Indiana has, you know, gone to a place like Michigan State or played Michigan tough or played Ohio State tough, when you watched it, you felt like, yeah, Indiana's playing well, but Indiana's having to flex every muscle and stretch, you know, every advantage and pull out every stop, you know, the old proverbial pull out all the stops, just to stay competitive in this game. And so you figure that at some point, unless a huge, you know, break of fortune bounces their way, the rubber band will snap and Indiana will fade. That's not what Saturday felt like. Saturday felt like Indiana, well-prepared, talented, certainly short in some key areas, again, particularly, I think, on defense, and that's ultimately, you know, why and how they lose that game. But nevertheless, able to stand toe-to-toe with Michigan State. And I don't think anybody sort of exemplified that better or probably was more of the catalyst for that than Michael Penix. I think there were others. I think Kalen DeBoer, Indiana's offensive coordinator, deserves a ton of credit for the game plan that he drew up and the way that Indiana executed it. I think Matthew Bedford, starting as a freshman left tackle, for the first time, again, against a fearsome and veteran front seven and basically just not looking at all bothered by it, not struggling nearly at all, playing, frankly, fantastically well in some areas. But it felt like Michael Penix was, you know, kind of the keystone for all of that. And when you say that you feel like Michael Penix is the kind of guy that might be able to be the difference to get Indiana over the hump in some of these games, it's hard to disagree. And it's very easy to see why Tom Allen said, in week one when he gave Michael Penix the job, that it wasn't about what – you come back to that quote many times – it wasn't about what Peyton Ramsey didn't do. It's about what – Allen thought Michael Penix could be, and I think that that's probably, at least quietly, part of the reason why Allen comes into his post-game news conference on Saturday, with frankly a little bit of an air of defiance in terms of saying, you know, we're not going anywhere, we're for real. I think that starts with his quarterback.
Zach Osterman with the Indianapolis Star, our guest. We're starting the segment talking IU football, as we normally do this time of year on Mondays. I've got to ask you about the next couple weeks, or I think we need to talk about the next couple of weeks for this Indiana team. Rutgers coming up on October 12th, which I guess IU off this coming weekend, so I'm talking about the next two games, October 12th and October 19th. But Rutgers for homecoming, and then Indiana goes on the road to Maryland. Those are important games for this team from a bowl eligibility perspective, as they currently sit at 3-2 on the season. Those could represent win number 4 and win number 5 for the upcoming, or for this schedule. And of course, 6 is what you need with 5 games remaining after that. You've got to get one more victory to get that 6 win. So I see a big stretch coming up after Indiana's idle for a week to see if they can take a big step and add 2 wins to that win total, one at home against Rutgers and one on the road at Maryland. Your thoughts on what's ahead for this team after they have some time to recover and maybe, I don't want to say take a break, but definitely a different pace for this team coming up this week.
Yeah, I mean, I would actually extend that. I would say that Indiana's kind of got a weird schedule. They have 2 bye weeks this year. It's just the way that the calendar's fallen out. And in a way, you know, and I don't know if Tom Allen sees it this way, but I think if I were a coach, I would have been tempted to see it this way, that you can almost break up your season into 3 mini seasons. You have those first 5 games, which includes, you know, two of your probably three most difficult conference games in your whole non-conference schedule. Then you have a bye. Then you have those two games you mentioned, Rutgers at home and at Maryland. Then you go to Nebraska. Then you get Northwestern at home. Then you get another bye. Then out of that bye, you go to Penn State and then Michigan at home and then Purdue in West Lafayette to end the season. And when I say three mini seasons, you know, I think that if you're Tom Allen, you knew that, like, for example, you might be breaking in a freshman starting quarterback. You know, you're breaking in a new offensive coordinator. You're still a young defense. So those first five games are going to be important for trying some things, for learning some things about yourself, for correcting some mistakes. Now you get this bye, and of course coaches aren't going to talk to their players, you know, maybe quite this flatly. But you can't afford to lose to Rutgers. I think everybody understands that. I mean, Rutgers is far and away the worst team in the Big Ten right now. Chris Ash was fired yesterday. Maryland looked a lot more fearsome when they were kind of overwhelming Syracuse early in the season. Since then, things have gone pretty sideways. That's probably another game that, I mean, you can, in theory, make a bowl without winning that game. But I think when you look at statistical matchups and things like that, that's a game Indiana's got to win. Nebraska is one that at the beginning of the season, we would have said Indiana probably won't win that game. But you look at what Nebraska's done and you see some holes there. And you can say that you can extend that even further to Northwestern, probably even more to Northwestern at this point with the way that Northwestern has struggled. And I know we're more than a month away from that game. So you don't want to make sweeping calls about what might happen in a game that's that far out into the future. But I think that if you're Indiana, you think about these next four games and you should be able to see a path toward bowl eligibility across these next four games. If, and again, this is the if that we've come back to with Indiana year after year after year, the performance at Michigan State isn't the result of a team getting up to play in a big environment against a tough team on the road, and that performance won't be sustained because that, you know, that the team can't summon that consistency when it's Maryland on the road or when it's Northwestern at home or when it's Rutgers at home. But if that performance is, and I think this is where you kind of come back a little bit, I know I'm getting some long answers, I apologize, but if that performance is more maybe indicative of a team that doesn't have to, you know, like exert itself to 100% just to stay close in that game, but actually can make that a game while making some mistakes, while having some rocky moments, then you think that performance can be sustained. And you think that Indiana can get at least two, if not three wins from its next four games, you know, all things remaining equal. And then you get to take another bye, and then you get to go into those last three games almost playing with house money and saying, hey, any more wins we pick up here, we're just improving our bowl position. We could win the bucket back. We could, you know, pick up a big win against Michigan at home, that sort of thing. But we're already in a bowl game, and we've already kind of lifted that monkey off our back. I think that these four games are going to be, in a way, I think these four games are where we learn what the real Indiana is. You know, I don't know that I can see a world where Indiana comes out of these four not bowl eligible but gets to bowl eligibility. But I can also see a world where Indiana comes out of these four bowl eligible and then maybe wins one or two more at the end of the year. And then we're talking about, hey, Indiana had a great season, just a fantastic season. But you got to see them do it. You think about that 2017 season under Tom Allen. Indiana plays tough as nails in a game that's all about defense up in East Lansing. Loses, I think, 17-9. You think, okay, well, that's tough, but not everybody's as good defensively as Michigan State. Then they go to Maryland and give up 30-something points and lose. And so it's finding that consistency that's always been the challenge for IU football.
Zach Osterman, good stuff from Zach with the Indianapolis Star on IU football. Zach, I do want to catch a little basketball before we let you go. You were one of three voters, the two from each school, so yourself and Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, and Dustin Dopierak also voted, but he was, I guess you could say, a Purdue representative in that poll since he not only covers Indiana but Purdue and Butler as well. And all three of you guys are with us normally on the show. I think with all three, I've addressed, you know, your predictions for IU basketball for the upcoming season. Where do you see IU in the Big Ten for the upcoming season? And where the writers, at least the beat writers that cover this stuff and have for a while, see Indiana is about where some of the national magazines and others have put Indiana, and that's at the number 10 spot in the Big Ten Conference. You were one of the writers, and we've talked about this previously, but you were one of the writers that had Indiana a little ahead of that. You had them at number seven. There were actually five writers, you included, that had IU at the number seven spot. But when you average things out with the votes, Indiana at number 10 when the poll comes out. Just kind of take us through your thought process as you filled out your ballot, starting with Indiana and then maybe touching on Michigan State and some of the other key teams in the Big Ten that you thought of when you went through this thing.
You know, every year that I put this together, it feels like there's a cutoff line somewhere in the Big Ten where I stop feeling confident about my picks. And that, I think, is probably directly analogous to how I feel about the Big Ten as a whole in terms of, you know, what will the Big Ten look like at the end of the season? How many truly good teams are there in the Big Ten? How tough will the conference race be? How many teams am I confident right now in, you know, late September, early October, we'll get into the NCAA tournament out of the Big Ten? Not necessarily the team specifically, but more the number of teams. This year, for me, that cutoff line fell at about five. I was confident enough. I mean, you know, everybody picked Michigan State to win the conference. You know, everybody, bar, I think, one voter picked Cassius Winston as player of the year. I think everybody's top five. I think only one writer picked Purdue out of the top five, and everybody else had Maryland, Ohio State, and Michigan State in the top five as well. So, you know, you feel like those four teams, Michigan State, Maryland, Purdue, and Ohio State, are widely recognized as kind of a solid top four-ish, you know, somewhere in that range together. Then between everybody from Illinois to Michigan to Wisconsin, I think people can see, you know, a solid fifth there. I started losing faith after about five, and I can make a case for Wisconsin being a good team. I can make a case for Wisconsin, obviously, without Ethan Happ, taking a step back. I can make a case for Michigan being very good, but they've got a brand new coach, and their best returning players are guys that, in my mind, Xavier Simpson and John Teske are really, really good players because they're really good at all the things that you need to do to just allow volume scorers score with volume, and Michigan doesn't have a ton of proven, you know, volume scorers at this point. They've lost Jordan Poole and Charles Matthews and those guys. And so all of a sudden you say, well, then who's going to do the scoring for Michigan? Because I'm not sure that, you know, Simpson and Teske can be 14-point-a-game guys. And you go on down the list. Illinois's got a talented team, but a lot of question marks, almost nothing proven there. I had Indiana at seven, and that may have been a little bit high, but I kind of had Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa, 7, 8, 9, and some, I think it was Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, in that order at 7, 8, 9, and I see those three teams kind of the same way for different reasons. But from Indiana's perspective, I see a team that's probably going to struggle to score the basketball consistently again, and certainly is going to struggle to replace the impact offensively of Juwan Morgan and Romeo Langford. But I also see a team that I think has a very, very good chance of being very, very good defensively this year. Veteran perimeter defenders, a host of options in the paint. I actually kind of wrote up a post that I think is going up later today with my ballot where I kind of explain this. And outside the top three, four teams in the league, I don't see a lot of teams that I'm confident are going to be able to score the ball well, and I'm confident are going to have multiple legitimate volume scorers. And so I think it's the kind of year where a team like Indiana could essentially, and this is what I wrote, rock fight its way to a top half Big Ten finish. Now, I'm not confident necessarily that seventh in the Big Ten gets Indiana into the NCAA tournament. I'm not that confident in the league right now. But that was my reasoning for having Indiana where I had them. You know, in my own mind, there wasn't a lot of separation between 7, 8, and 9. And, you know, maybe Indiana winds up seventh for me in that three-team group just because I see more of Indiana than I do Illinois or Iowa. So I'm more confident in being able to assess Indiana. But I think that Indiana has the potential to be a borderline elite team defensively this season. And if it's got that in a conference that's lost a lot of scoring punch, I think it's got a chance to win two games.
Zach Osterman with the Indianapolis Star talking about the official, unofficial Big Ten media poll that came out earlier, Indiana 10th in that. I assume you're headed to Big Ten Media Day later this week, and we'll get an opportunity not only to hear more from IU, Coach Archie Miller, some of the key players on this team going as well, but also the entire roster of Big Ten coaches.
Absolutely. Actually, I'm sending somebody else to Media Day, but one way or the other, we're going to be represented there. So.
Sounds good. Zach, thanks for the chat. Always fun to start the week with you from an IU perspective. Great stuff, and we'll do it again next Monday.
Thanks for having me, as always.
All right, Zach Osterman with the Star, our guest. We'll head to a commercial break when we come back. In our final segment, Chad Gilbert is my guest to talk local sports headlines. Chad, the Charlestown High School Athletic Director, also an IHSAA Executive Board member representing our portion of Southern Indiana. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with more after this on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Monday program. Quickly, before we get to Chad Gilbert, a couple notes. I've had a number of tweets saying, hey, do you know anything about Rondale Moore, who was carted off the field with a, I don't know, look, pretty serious injury, it looked like, at Purdue. And don't have any details yet, but I do know that Jeff Brohm up at Purdue having a press conference, his weekly press conference now. Rondale not listed on the depth chart this week for Purdue, and Coach Brohm did say that he would not be available to play in Purdue's next game, which is this coming weekend against Penn State, and he would have more information perhaps later in the week. So that's one thing I did want to mention. The other thing, I've got Celtics Media Day on. You can watch it at Celtics.com, at least what they've got for the public, some interviews, some one-on-ones with players. I assume Romeo will have a one-on-one interview that you'll be able to watch at some point later today, but Brad Stevens just got done with a brief interview, and of course in the background you can see lots of flashes from all the photography, and I see Taco Fall, the big center in the background, lots of lights and cameras and all sorts of things happening there at NBA Media Days. The Pacers had theirs last week, and of course paying a little more attention to Boston because of Romeo Langford on that roster with preseason NBA basketball getting ready to start here in just a few days. Chad Gilbert is with me. Chad, always a guest on Monday. He's the athletic director at Charlestown High School and an IHSAA executive board member. Chad, fall break is here for some and will be here soon for others. And, of course, some of the fall high school sports beginning to slowly wind down. Football is entering the last handful of weeks of the regular season. We'll be talking about postseason football very soon. And of course, basketball just around the corner as well. So lots going on from a high school perspective right now.
Matt, first of all, you know, Rondale Moore hopefully bounces back and able to recover off of that. Football, my gosh, those guys go so hard. It's amazing that there's just not major injuries every week, and we hope that Rondale Moore bounces back quickly off his injury as well. Going to high school, you're talking about fall break. You know, this is kind of a different creature that maybe came around the last – 4, 5, 6 years, you know, for Southern Indiana. And a lot of our fall coaches, you know, they don't like it because people are wanting to get away. They're wanting to take their family, you know, to Florida or wherever they go, a little bit cheaper prices this time of the year in the off season. And it's something that they have a struggle dealing with. As basketball coaches and guys like you and I, we've dealt with this our whole life. Winter break always has a 2-week winter break right in the middle of your season that you have to deal with those different things going on with it. So this is nothing new to guys like you and I. However, it's something semi-new for fall coaches that happen to deal with. From an athletic director standpoint, where I go back on that one is, you know, you still have kids that are trying to, you know, maybe get away for a little bit with their family. You know, in softball, baseball, it happens at the start of the year where people want to go on spring break and they just kind of work it out as they go. Here, we're in the end of our seasons. We're in our sectionals. We have a soccer sectional starting next week. A week after that, it's volleyball. So things, you know, are winding down here. So there's not an opportunity for kids and their families to get away. It's just something they've got to go through. How that impacts our school is gate-wise. We used to be on a 2-week balance schedule where fall break was 2 weeks, kind of like New Albany Floyd is now. There's a chance on that one. You leave school on Friday, you have the next week, and you come back the next Friday. There's 3 weeks there, 3 Friday night games out of a 9-game schedule, a 30-year season. You could have, well, you will at some point, have 2 of your 3 home games during fall break, which impacts the rest of your fall sports as far as money makers. So if you have a low turnout because people are gone ball breaks somewhere, that has a huge, huge impact in your revenue for the fall sport. So it's one of those things that you kind of work with. You kind of got to get your bearings underneath you. And early on, you want to have as many home games as you can. Because when you get back, you know, school spirit and stuff, it doesn't die. Because when you get back after fall break, like I said, you're right into sectionals. You're ready to go. So, you know, everybody gets excited when come tournament time. But that does have a major impact on your athletic department.
Chad Gilbert, Charlestown AD, IHSA board member, our guest. Interesting stuff, and I want to ask you along the lines of fall sports, we got to talk about Marion Lukes for just a second. At the top of the show today, named the Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week. Had a big weekend for the Pirates, who are surging. Four straight victories. He had 210 yards rushing, highlighted by a touchdown scoring drive of 57 yards. You've watched this kid come together as a complete player and student athlete in your role at Charlestown High School, so no surprise to you, I'm sure, that he wins an award. He's had many of these types of awards over his high school career, and I'm sure that there are many to come as he moves even beyond high school.
You know, one thing on Marion, last week was a big week for Marion. You know, he had a great game on the field. Halftime, he was named the homecoming king. And then before the game, we got to honor Marion, who is the Charlestown all-time leader in rushing yards. That record dates back to Kim Martin, who went and played at Indiana. Then you come back to a Richard Lanham, who broke that, played at Georgetown, to an Aaron Daniel, who was in a role at Indiana, a walk-on role in his point coming out, and then to Marion to break that. You know, you think about those guys. Those are four of the guys who may be on the Mount Rushmore of Charlestown football that, you know, when you think about football, you think about those types of guys. So for Marion to break that record with, you know, four more games to go, that's pretty remarkable and says what kind of athlete, what kind of career he has had, you know. And to do that, you've got to be blessed with some God-given skills. But he's had a line that's worked really hard for him. You know, in football, there's 11 players on the field, and you just can't do it all on your own.
Again, congratulations to Marion Lukes, our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week, presented by Sordano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. Chad, it's always fun to talk basketball, and as fall sports wind down, that means we can crank up basketball to another level. And always fun as well. We do a lot of this when you join the program, tracking some of the local players and where they're at, how recruiting is going, and reminiscing maybe of some of the days old of high school basketball in this area as well. And just amazing to see Trey Kaufman, all the coaches that have been in to watch him at Silver Creek. Obviously, more will come between now and the start of the high school season. This past weekend, he was over at Louisville Live, which I think is a really cool event. Completely different way to kick off the season publicly instead of a traditional scrimmage or a traditional open practice, much like Indiana and Kentucky and other schools have, even though they juice it up with music and graphics and lights and sometimes fireworks and musical performers and other things like that. Going completely outside of the box was Louisville for the second straight year down at 4th Street Live with a temporary court. And Trey was there. Christian Lander of Evansville Rights was there. Obviously, it was a big recruiting moment for the Louisville program as well. Just neat to see a guy so local to us get all these opportunities to be wanted by colleges near and far, and got a feeling that it's really only just beginning for him.
Well, you know, all those Midnight Madnesses or whatever, Live Alives or whatever you call them, they're all awesome. They all do a great job. They create excitement for the start of the year. They get your fans going behind it. But what they're trying to do, most importantly, is they're trying to leave an impression on these recruits on, you know, how special it is to be playing at these schools. And the places they're doing, these are blue blood schools. These are guys that are competing for all five-star players to get out there, and they're putting their best foot forward. Everything they do and creates excitement, creates energy, and shows that there's more to it than just the business. There's a little bit of fun. But when you talk about Trey, you know, he's someone that has really exploded in the last 365 days, and you think that he's just stock is going to continue to grow. He's a kid that is ate up with basketball. You know, that he studies the game. He wants to know how to get better. You know, when he gets in somewhere in college where it's going to be where it is a job, where you're going to school and you're working on basketball, where you're doing individual workouts, where you're in the weight room, where you've got a nutritionist, you can just see his stock going higher and higher and higher. And when you look at him, I think you're going to see maybe another inch or two out of him, and his body is going to develop with that. And he's someone, you know, that you could project to see, you know, someone that you see in the NBA at some point. You know, Kentucky is, he's going down to Kentucky next weekend, and I think when Kentucky brings you in, that's something that you've got to have NBA blood in you at some point on that one. So that's something that I think that they see the potential in him as well to make that next big leap. And when you think of the offers he's had, the hard work he's put in, and what there's to come, I think the sky's the limit for that young man.
Chad Gilbert, my guest. Chad, the Charlestown Athletic Director, IHSA Executive Board Member. We're going to start talking more high school basketball here in the coming weeks, as just so exciting that the season is drawing closer and lots of great storylines. And I want to put two out here real quick for you to comment on before we head out today. But Silver Creek, obviously defending 3A state champions. We know they've got talent. Trey Kaufman, Cooper Jacoby, very, very big standout players, not just in the area, but in high school basketball across the state. Guard Brandon Northern, I think, is going to be exciting to watch. We'll see how far along he's come this season. But the storyline with the Dragons is, if they want to make a return to Indianapolis, can they replace some of their very talented senior guards that have left the program with graduation? Flip side of that, Jeffersonville, one of the most talented teams in this area and beyond. We know they've got the talent, senior class and younger, but a new coach taking over with some late changes in there. That will be interesting to see how they all adapt and all mesh together. But when I think of the upcoming season, Chad, those are two quick headlines that pop out to me.
Oh, time will tell on both of those guys. Both of those programs, they're going to be, both of them will be battle tested. Both of them will be coached up. Both of them will be in a position that they're going to get better as the years go on, as the year goes on, where players are going to find their roles, they're going to find out where they fit in, and they're going to be looking to be playing their best basketball in March. And, you know, you think about that, Matt, we're very blessed in the area we live in with the players we've had, you know, dating back 30, 40 years ago, and the players we have coming now from this point, you know, from that point on to this point, we've had some very good basketball players and very good basketball in starting in, and I hope our fans appreciate that.
Chad Gilbert. Chad, thanks for the run. We'll talk with you again next week.
Thanks for everything you do for Southern Indiana, Matt. Appreciate you.
That wraps up the Monday program. Back with you tomorrow on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.